take place. And I thought this was really nice because I remember I went to public school for elementary and middle. And I remember they had a breakfast program for kids when I was at Central Middle School, which is now, ironically, a luxury condo complex.
No, of course it is.
But at the time, I used to go early just to finish my studies for the day. And it was really nice seeing these kids who were just clearly, like, you know, their parents worked two jobs. They didn't, it wasn't even money. They didn't have time to prepare proper food for them, which I was lucky enough to have from my parents. And it was nice that they got this opportunity. I mean, some of them I know went on to go to Harvard, and like, and it was the city of Quincy which made it possible for them to be healthy and stay alive.
I don't know why, and someone would have to explain to me why every community in this state does not run a program like this. I don't know.
I know. Like, it's children. It's 11-year-olds.
When you think of all of the things that we could be doing with our tax dollars, feeding hungry children really ought to be very, very high on the priority list. I'm going to slot that in right up there with making sure that we have police and firefighters and ahead of infrastructure and athletics in the schools or any of that kind of stuff. There's that whole thing going on down in Warwick right now where they're going to get rid of they've basically said we're getting rid of all sports because we can't afford them. And that's a problem. But if you are feeding hungry children during the summer, that's
pretty good.
I'll trade in sports for that. I'll trade in a lot of stuff for that. I'm going to trade in cops. I'm going to trade in firefighters. Might trade in snowplows. I go without snowplows in the wintertime. I'll just put chains on my car if it means hungry kids can eat. You know, move the trash pickup to twice weekly. Or every 2 weeks instead of weekly.
I mean, I'll pick up the trash if it means a 10-year-old gets to eat breakfast for lunch.
Yeah, because it's, if you can't feed your own people, you have failed as a society. It's that simple. One of the most basic rules of society. If you can't feed your own people, you can't call yourself a society. And that's what they're doing. I like it. I support it. There's a bathroom down the hall. You know this.
Yeah.
I've got nothing.
It's, okay.
Yeah. No, I drank my thing before I came in tonight.
I'm fine.
But if you need water, I think that's a Poland Spring over there. I don't know where that came from.
It was like...
That may not
sorry,
actually...
Sorry, I've been a little ill lately, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that may not actually be Poland Spring in that.
There might be a buttload of vodka in that.
You could also ask Joel.
Well, let's see if we're going to break FCC rules right now.
Yeah. There's no drinking on the air. I have to bring that up.
I've only done that once, and it's... It does kind of smell.
Joel, have you got water?
Is this water or?
I've got water.
Else?
Yeah, Joel, could you bring some water for my co-host?
Have some water.
Sure, of course.
That'd be a huge plus.
Can't drink it in here, though.
Yes, she can. Stop that.
Is that vodka?
I don't know.
We don't know what it is.
Kind of smells like gin.
It's an odorless, colorless liquid, and that's really in normal situations.
I mean, nobody had gin in our radio station. I was just joking around.
In normal situations, if you're in someone's house and you find odorless, colorless liquid in a bottle, you're probably going to be like, "Yeah, this is okay." In a radio station, no, you don't. You don't ever do that. Do not ever do that. So I am 100% on board with Weymouth and what Weymouth is doing. I know there are cities and towns that do this. I know there are cities and towns that don't. And I know that any city and town in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts could figure out a way to afford this, could figure out a way to get this done. And they really all should be doing it. Now, can we talk about the fact that fireworks are still illegal in this state? Or no, we're going to talk about that next week. That's...
I'm very excited about... Just in time for July 4th.
What is the actual date of July 4th?
It's Thursday.
Date of July
4th. The week from tomorrow.
Well, I was going to say, that's what I'm saying, is so we have the unique opportunity to talk about July 4th right before July 4th.
Yeah. So, national news. Again, I talked about this off the top of the show tonight. I don't want this show to be, you know, the ongoing tech horrors that are going on, but when these things happen, and they are relevant, and they are important, we need to talk about them. I know that a lot of people have a certain opinion of Project Veritas and the way that James O'Keefe goes about doing what he does. Depending on which side of the political aisle you're on, I can more or less predict what your opinion of Project Veritas will be. The truth is that he is an investigative journalist. Does he have biases? Yes. Does he pursue very specific types of stories most of the time? Yes. Is a broken clock right twice a day? Inevitably. Project Veritas dropped a story on Monday that is crucial and critical to our understanding of what is going on in this country right now. And I spoke last week about this question of what happens when the public square is owned by a private corporation. What happens in that situation? What do we do? Here we go. Insider blows whistle and exec reveals Google plan to prevent, quote, Trump situation, end quote, scare quotes, Trump situation, in 2020 on Hidden Cam. There was a video at the top of this article. There is now a giant red text, including capital letters for some words. YouTube has removed the video from their platform. The video is still available on this website page. Congressman Louis Gohmert issued a statement saying, quote, Google should not be deciding whether content is important or trivial, and they must assuredly should not be meddling in our election process. They need their immunity stripped, end quote. Google executive Jen Janai, we'll hear about her some more, responded to the video saying, quote, I was having a casual chat with someone at a restaurant and used some imprecise language. Project Veritas got me. Well done. End quote. Well, let's see what they actually have to say here.
Project Veritas got me. That's adorable.
They got me. Well done. Project Veritas has released a new report on Google, which includes undercover video of a senior Google executive, leaked documents, which I have read, and testimony from a Google insider. The report appears to show Google's plans to affect the outcome of the 2020 elections and prevent the next Trump situation. The report includes undercover footage of longtime Google employee and head of responsible innovation, Jen Ganai, saying, quote, Elizabeth Warren is saying we should break up Google. And like, I love her, but she's very misguided. Like, that will not make it better. It will make it worse. Because all these smaller companies who don't have the same resources that we do will be charged with preventing the next Trump situation. It's like a small company cannot do that. This is a Google executive saying that Google needs to retain its monopoly power so it can decide who the president will be. That's what she said. Oh, Project Veritas, you got me. No, Jen Ganai, you got yourself.
Yeah, you sound utterly absurd.
Jen Ganai is the head of responsible innovation for Google, a sector that monitors and evaluates the responsible implementation of artificial intelligence technologies. She's not doing her job well because I've seen the results. In the video, Ganai says Google has been working diligently to prevent the results of the 2016 election from repeating in 2020. Quote, we all got screwed over in 2016. Again, it wasn't just us. It was the people got screwed over. The news media got screwed over. Like, everybody got screwed over. So we rapidly been like, what happened there? And how do we prevent it from happening again? Are you discussing democracy, Ms. Janai? Are you discussing the electoral process? Is the will of the people what got you screwed over? Is the fact that Donald Trump won a majority of electoral votes and a majority of states other than California? which is the only reason he won the popular vote? Is that how we got screwed over? Is our republic what got you screwed over, Ms. Janai? We're also, continuing her quote, we're also training our algorithms. Like if 2016 happened again, would the outcome be different?
And I honestly wonder that all the time. It was really a roll of the dice. I remember 2016 and watching the election results being like, okay, just the red states must be reporting right now. Like this is absurd that it seems like Donald Trump is actually going to become president. And then of course, here we are. But I do think constantly, well, and I think even more than the actual election, I think at the primaries, if things would have been different if Bernie had been our Democratic candidate. And that's what I always talk about in general with elections, is that our two-party system is where we're failing. It's where the problem lies, because it's ridiculous to try to have an entire such a diverse country shove itself into two categories.
Yes.
Like, I mean, there's like 19 and that's the problem, is that, I mean, I think that if Bernie had been on the ballot, things would have gone differently.
Oh, Bernie probably would have won.
Yeah.
Bernie probably would have won.
And then we might really
be screwed right now. Well, so, and you know.
Oh, shut up. I've spoken to multiple people who voted for Donald Trump, who the only reason that they voted for Donald Trump was because they didn't like Hillary.
Yeah.
And that's the failure of the system, is that, I mean, I'm registered in the Green Party because I want pot to be legal across the board. And I think gay people should be able to get married, which, yay, we did that.
I don't even
get to vote for who I want to vote for in the primary, because I'm registered in the Green Party. I tried to vote for Bernie and I couldn't.
Well, you can always register independent, then you can take whatever ballot you want.
In California, they
wouldn't let me. Oh, in California,
me.
No, Massachusetts, you can't.
I was saying, in California, they wouldn't let me, and I got my ballot and was just like, well, what the hell do I do?
Who are these people? I don't like these.
I ended up writing in Bernie Sanders, which, I mean, was useless, but still, it's something much like... much like the right to bear arms, it's something that made sense when our government started, but doesn't make sense anymore.
So
for our intents and purposes.
So here we have Jen Janai, Google executive. She's in charge of helping to implement algorithms, machine learning, saying in regard to the 2016 election, what happened there and how do we prevent it from happening again? Now, say what you will about Project Veritas and their undercover videos and all the rest of this. That is not the only thing that we have here. And that is not even the scariest part of what we have here. Somebody within Google leaked a series of documents, including a slide presentation and some internal foundational documents, talking about how they want their algorithm to run. And I'm going to read you a piece of one of these, and this should scare the living hell out of you. Okay.
More than most things to you.
This should scare the hell out of you. This is Google defining how their algorithm is going to work. If a representation is factually accurate, can it still be algorithmic unfairness? And they describe algorithmic unfairness as bias in a certain direction in the algorithm's results. So if a representation is factually accurate, if it is true, if it is real, if it reflects reality, Can it still be algorithmic unfairness, a term defined by Google? Google defines algorithmic unfairness. Facts are facts. Plain and simple. If a representation is factually accurate, can it still be algorithmic unfairness? Yes. So if the truth does, if the facts don't meet our standards, then that's not correct. It goes on. For example, imagine a Google image query for CEOs shows predominantly men. Even if it were a factually accurate representation of the world, it would be algorithmic unfairness because it would reinforce a stereotype about the role of women in leadership positions. I might give you the benefit of the doubt on that particular example. However, factual accuracy may affect product policy's position on whether or how it should be addressed. In some cases, it may be appropriate to take no action if the system accurately affects current reality. I would say that should be in all cases. You take no action if the algorithm is giving people facts. Back to Google. While in other cases...
This is my favorite story you have ever detailed.
Here's the part that is going to scare the hell out of you right now. This is it.
Oh, goodness. Wait, I'm going to brace.
In other cases, it may be desirable to consider how we might help society reach a more fair and equitable state via either product intervention or broader corporate social responsibility efforts.
What?
Do you understand what they're saying?
I'm having so much trouble not swearing right now.
Shay Spillane, do you understand how we might help society? That is not your role.
I was going to say, that is totally the only word that can come to you. My brain is absurd.
Any evidence that you needed that Google needs to be split up, shut down, broken into tiny pieces is right here. Is right here.
It's I
don't care what the executives say.
Listeners, I did brace my hands and now they are like throwing themselves up just being like, what the living biggest word that the FCC will fine us for.
Yeah. No, don't use those.
I won't.
Don't use those.
You can get the impression of that's what I want to do. My hands are just thrown in the air right now.
I asked the question on this show last week, what happens when the public square is owned by a private corporation? And now we have the answer. Not only is the private corporation going to kick you out of the public square for saying things that it doesn't agree with, it's going to dictate the terms of what will be said in the private square, in the public square. This is Google saying, hey, you know what? Enough women aren't CEOs. So when people search CEOs, we're only going to show pictures of women. And then society will realize women can be CEOs. And society will change. By what right is a private for-profit corporation social engineering? Because that's what they're talking about. This is social engineering. There's another name for social engineering, Shay. In a political context.
It's...
begins with an F, and it's not banned by the FCC?
I was thinking it began with a C.
No.
As in communism.
No.
Fascism?
That's the one that we're looking for. That's the word we're looking for. Ding, ding,
is
ding.
Is it fascism?
Shay Spillane comes up with the correct answer.
Hey, guess who's been successful when trying to enforce fascism? Zero people. But I can think of an Italian man that was hung in a square in Milan that I used to hang out at all the time.
But you know what? None of them had
His
Google's
name
reach.
Was Mussolini.
None of them had Google's reach or the implicit belief amongst the population that they reached that they were speaking undeniable truth.
It's so cute that anyone thinks that fascism could ever be successful. Like, I mean, every single, any version of it that you can look at through history, whether it be BC, whether it be like way back in the day, whether in like very primitive terms, or I mean, nobody, everyone always calls what Hitler did Nazism, but it's technically fascism, as is what Mussolini did, what, I didn't bother to remember the guy in Japan's name, but what that dude did during World War II, like it.
Mussolini? Oh, no, no, Hirohito. Guy.
Hirohito.
That was, yeah. That was a different.
He was more just like way too hardcore into like. The really hardcore person.
Hirohito wasn't a fascist. Hirohito and the Japanese soldiers were fanatic nationalists, and there was a cultural tradition that he played upon to get there. Mussolini was a fascist.
Oh, Mussolini was.
Mussolini was like your textbook fascist.
Well, do you know what I love about Mussolini? As I, as you know, I lived.
Nothing?
In, as our list.
He was a very bad man.
What I love about the story about Mussolini, okay, let me put it better. That way.
You know what I love about Mussolini?
What I love about this terrible short man.
Mussolini, molto bene. Come on, we're not, no, you just get, we just got FCC fines for you saying that.
Well, where, as you know, I hated living in Milan because it was so much of a cut destroyed during World War II. But the one square that was still classically built, like it was still the same buildings from way back in the day, yeah. Is where they hung Mussolini and his wife and all of his friends after the war ended.
Bellissimo Milano.
And I didn't realize this until, and mind you, it was also next to the biggest church in Milan. I didn't realize this until long after I had lived there, and then I watched the footage of it and was like, oh my god, I've eaten a Luini sitting directly under where Mussolini was hanging.
That's a cafe now.
By his feet. No, do you know what a Luini is though?
No.
Oh my god, they're amazing. It's like if a Hot Pocket was actually good. It's essentially It's like a...
It's a bread product stuffed with sausage like
it's
and
like,
cheese.
It's like a mini calzone.
Yeah.
But...
And marinara, I'm guessing.
Oh, cheese marinara. And you can get it with prosciutto or pepperoni or...
All right. Stop.
Yeah. That was like my favorite place. Every time I would go into Milan, because I lived in Milano Due, every time I go into Milan, I'd be like... I'm going to high-five the church, which was basically me just pretending to high-five the church. And then I'm going to go down this alleyway and go to this place that has Luini. Because it's delicious.
Nice.
But yeah, my favorite place I found out later to eat Luini was literally directly under where they hung Mussolini.
This is kind of how history works.
But I remember I saw the like I said, it was after I moved out of Milan that I saw the video, and I was just like, that was my spot. Nice. I wonder if it was kismet because I was Irish and was like, screw you.
Did you sit there and think to yourself, in the shadow of Mussolini's dead feet, or where they had hung, it may be desirable to consider how we might help society reach a more fair and equitable state? Were you sitting there thinking that? You know what?
Oh, yes. I'm sure that my 23-year-old self was thinking exactly that.
If only I had the power to alter the perception of reality through my national global search engine that everyone believes is truth, maybe I could just make the world a better place. Maybe I could make it reflect my values and only my values and silence anything that differs from that. And by the way, Google's got their little out built into this as well, because Google's going to sit there and say, oh, we're not doing this. This is the machines. This is the algorithms that are doing this. We don't have any control over this at all. And you know what? We'll put our engineering team and we'll fix that. This is terrifying.
Yeah.
This is terrifying.
Well, I constantly... don't understand. I mean, it's 2019. The fact that Donald Trump is our president is absurd in and of itself. But I feel like I remember one of the first things that I really took to heart that I learned in school was, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And
millennials never learned history?
Evidently.
Or etiquette, as we discussed earlier in the show, or...
I think about... There are so many things that, this included, that I see happening, and I'm just like, how are we not seeing the parallels here? Like, how is this really happening?
This
how is nobody recognizing this?
The same insider sent over another another document that illustrates some of the ways that this algorithm works, and it illustrates it via autocomplete results, which you see. You start typing into something in Google, and Google finishes the sentence for you because it assumes that this is what you're looking for. So there are a couple of different examples here. One is Hillary Clinton emails. There is no autocomplete result for Hillary Clinton emails. It doesn't suggest anything. There is nothing there. That might make you think there's some bias. Another one is Donald Trump emails. And the autocomplete results for that are Donald Trump Jr. emails Twitter, Donald Trump Jr. emails PDF, Victory Donald Trump emails, Donald J. Trump emails, Donald Trump campaign emails, sign up for Donald Trump emails. So at least they're giving you the opportunity to, you know, sign up with the president and get his emails. But interestingly, Hillary Clinton emails, major news story 2016, no autocomplete results. But there's a better one, and it's right up above it. If you type in women can, and this is our Google whistleblower who has some understanding of how these results work and what they do. You type in women can, the autocomplete results that you get are women can vote, women can do it, women can do anything, women can be drafted, women can fly. All right, I have no problem with any of that. Those are, you know, affirmatives, daily affirmation, positive things, fine, cool, whatever. If you type in men can, these are your autocomplete results. Men can have babies. Men can get pregnant. Men can have periods.
Oh my goodness, people are so stupid.
Men can have babies now. Men can cook. Men can think about nothing. This is what Google is serving up. This is the algorithm at work. And the thing about this is, when you put these results in front of millions of people every day, and it doesn't really register, it just kind of slips into your subconscious, it's not what you're looking for, but the phrase sticks around, right? If you see the phrase men can have babies, you're either gonna
it's gonna toss its way into your brain again.
You're gonna be like, really? My biology teacher would have a thing or two to say about that. Or you're going to ignore it completely, but it's still going to be stuck in your head. And somewhere down the road, you're going to be like, what is this? Men can have babies. And of course, Google will have all this information for you. And the social engineering is at work. These sites need to be broken up. Where the hell, Shay Spillane, is Congress? Where is Congress?
This is something that...
I know where the Democrats are benefiting from this, so they're not going to touch it.
This is something that we ask ourselves constantly. Especially in the last 3 years, it's a constant question of, okay, this crazy pants thing is happening. Isn't our government supposed to be set up to handle this, to do something about it, to even say anything about it? Like, it's absurd. I myself have been going through a couple of health issues, and the fact that the government is not there for me, someone who pays taxes and who pays my parking tickets and who's a good American citizen.
That's your problem.
That votes.
If you leave the country and come back in illegally, you will get everything that you want.
It's so frustrating to even... I even went to the mayor of Boston. I wrote him a letter and said, like, what can I do to have my concerns be addressed? And he said, I can't do anything. Write a letter to your congressman or woman.
Yeah.
And I said, I have, and they don't do anything.
They don't even respond.
They don't even look at it.
Actually, Markey's office does. Warren's will not, because
I was going to say, that's what's crazy, is that my homeboy Marty actually got back to me.
Yeah.
But his response was, you have to talk to somebody else about this.
And Congress just, I'm wondering where the heck the Republicans are, because we know the Democrats aren't going to do a thing about this. They are benefiting from it. So if we don't want Google running the 2020 election, which we don't want Facebook running the 2020 election, which we don't, Republicans are going to have to step up and do something about this and let the Democrats scream and cry that they're going to lose their advantage on these tech sites and these social media sites. We cannot have a republic. We cannot claim to live in a free society when big tech companies are trying to dictate what facts are. And are trying to dictate our reality.
Precisely. Yeah.
They are the new King George.
Well, that's, I mean, there was supposed to be all this legislation and all these laws set up to stop monopolies from happening. But they're happening before our eyes, but just kind of under... behind closed doors, kind of under a guise, in a way that it doesn't look like a monopoly, but it, I mean, it is. It's, I mean, even think about Amazon. Like, Amazon is selling us everything. They also have a service under which you can buy movies or buy TV shows. And then, like, Google's a search engine that also suddenly has a phone that also, it's like they're kind of slipping it under the radar, making these monopolies that are ultimately, and I know I've spoken about it on the show before, but the revolving door syndrome is as alive as it has ever been.
I can sort of live with Bezos, because ultimately at the end of the day,
it's a cute word.
Bezos and Amazon found a way to deliver what American consumers really wanted and do it better than anybody else had. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the basic functionality of Amazon, the existence of Amazon or Amazon size or any of those things, with the exception of the fact that Amazon is now in a position to dictate what manufacturers are going to charge for their products.
That's the ultimate thing of it.
Walmart.
Our country is supposed to be set up to, that's the reason we have checks and balances. Our country is supposed to be set up to prevent that from happening.
Yeah.
And it's happening.
And it needs to stop. Or we're going to find ourselves living in a country that we no longer recognize. And we're going to find ourselves living in a world that we no longer recognize. And it requires political pressure to get this done. It is way past time for Congress and the White House and the Supreme Court and anyone else that has jurisdiction over this to take action against these companies. These companies, Google and Facebook wants its own currency now. These companies have become so big at this point that they don't even care what the U.S. government says.
But, I mean, I don't think our president cares about us. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg cares about us.
Well, everybody cares about Wall Street. We got Chris with us. Chris, what are your thoughts on this? I mean,
Chris? What up, homie?
Yeah.
I am utterly horrified by this Google document. As somebody who cares about this country, this chills me to my core.
I think, and again, you know, I can't say what that executive means, only she can, but I think that probably she meant it the other way around, that because all these Russian hackers and other various trolls used Facebook and Google to influence the election, I think that she's thinking in terms of who's got the resources to try to find them and block them.
That's
what I would hope.
Let me give you the benefit of the doubt on that. That doesn't alter what Google has in its own internal documents.
Yeah.
And where they specifically say, Let me give you the exact quote on this, because it bears. I mean, these are not hastily written words. These are carefully thought out words. It may be desirable to consider how we might help society reach a more fair and equitable state.
Yes. But this is nothing new. And of course, the issue is, what do they think is fair and equitable? And maybe it's good, maybe it's bad.
That's problem number one.
It's a new form of media, relatively speaking, but this problem is much, much worse in the past and still is. What about Fox News, which has been around since before we were born, and whose sole mission is to spread lies, propaganda, and all kinds of delusional nonsense, and has millions of clone-like people who listen to it and watch it every day and believe that all this opposite of the truth stuff is true?
Here's the difference.
Who's breaking that up?
But here's the difference. Fox News has competitors.
I would say, and to be fair, Fox News was not always the way that it is now.
Oh, no, it pretty much always has been.
I mean, yeah.
They've always been bad. But
it wasn't as, I mean, they just jumped on the Trump train.
The question I'd put to you, Chris, is, who is Google's competitor? What is my alternative to Google?
Yahoo still exists. Have an email on it just to make competition. I have one on Google and one on Yahoo.
Yeah. You know? As somebody...
Yahoo's done things to piss me off, but, you know, it makes competition.
As somebody who's in this industry, as somebody who works in the in the digital space, I can tell you...
As somebody whose voice is going over the airwaves right now.
Google controls between 80 and 85% of search market share in the United States of America. Bing has the next 12%. And Google has 5 to 7%, depending on which sector we're looking at.
I'm surprised Bing has that much, and I guess it's because of Microsoft.
It's because when you buy a Microsoft computer and give it to your grandparents, Bing is installed, and they have no idea how to turn it off.
They don't know how to change it.
It's a known thing in the industry. Over 65, reach them on Bing.
You know, everyone has switched to Google. I'm not quite sure why. I'm sure you probably know many reasons why they have. But, no, there is competition. Just because it's not doing well doesn't mean it's not there. People could switch to it if they wanted to.
If 85%...
I mean, why does everyone use Facebook instead of MySpace?
If 80 to 85% of Americans are getting their information from Google, Google is the default.
But they're not. No, that's not. The kids are getting it from Facebook and only switch to Google if it's not on Facebook.
Not necessarily.
Talking to something, they look at Facebook, and then it's all over Facebook.
No,
and
there
if it's
are
not on Facebook.
I mean, dude, there are so many half of the teenagers out there don't even use Facebook anymore. I have cousins that are like, oh my god, you're on Facebook, you're so old.
Let me give you data. Again, I have the numbers. 53%, pretty much all, I've looked at this in every state of the union. Across the United States of America, approximately 53% of the U.S. population uses Facebook, which means there's 47% that doesn't. Facebook has a plurality, but Facebook does not have the same level of dominance that Google does. Google controls 85% of the information retrieval that takes place in the United States of America. That means...
That's pretty amazing.
They have a monopoly on what information we get. And that...
is so gross.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, I was going to say, terrible. Oh, my goodness.
I would rather break up Facebook first, because Google is beating Facebook in the competition, and Facebook is just evil as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
has no moral principles at all.
The guy is like the biggest words I can't say on the radio ever.
Sleazebag.
Well,
his purpose is in starting it, from what I heard, people claimed, and I don't think it's just a myth, it's probably true, that he started to meet girls or something. And
yeah.
I remember, like, maybe in 2006, you know, you're searching for things and stuff pops up, and you're like, what's that? And then you click on it just to see. This thing comes up, and it's like a little grid of postage stamp-sized pictures, all of girls and all out of some yearbook that it was pirated from, and it was called Facebook because it was a book of faces. I'm like, some sleazebag is like copying things without permission out of yearbooks. Well, that's what became Facebook.
As I like to say, it's a company that's run by a 12-year-old and an absentee mom. You know, that's Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg right there. It's like, Every time something goes wrong, Cheryl's nowhere to be found.
Claims she has all these principles, but then, you know, from the way her decisions are made, she seems like a complete whore because she's working for a terrible corporation and made millions and millions of dollars. Where's her principles then?
Yeah. Well, Chris, we thank you for your call.
As always.
Always.
Appreciate the
always a pleasure, my dear.
Always a pleasure talking to you. Keep on listening. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number.
WMFO.
Now, this is interesting because Chris calls in a lot, and we know that Chris is super, super well informed about things and doesn't, because I'm sitting here, I look at this data, all right? I look at websites and their performance across the entire United States, across Canada, in some cases in Europe. This is my day job. I am a digital marketer. I am on the front lines of all of this. When I sit here and I say Google controls 85% of information retrieval in the United States of America, that is not a made-up number. That is what I see. When I look at where the organic search coming into my client's sites comes from, when I look at all the sites across our company, the ones who are my clients, this is where it comes from. Google is information. Google is the public square.
Mm-hmm.
We have a private corporation running the public square that now wants to dictate the terms of the conversation, Chase Blaine.
It's funny that you say public square as I'm looking up the picture of Mussolini hanging from his feet in the public square mall. So it's like Google, just Italian and fascist.
Yeah.
Or anti-fascist, this, I suppose.
This can't, I cannot believe for a second that I am living in a country and living in an age where Google would publish a document like this.
It's
or even think that they could publish a document like this.
I mean, I believe that's the great irony of our country, is that it was, I remember one of the best conversations I ever had with my brother was how he said that our government is set up so that you can break the law, there's just consequences to it. And you can look up like whatever law you want to break, whatever crime you want to commit, you can just look up what's going to happen if you get caught. And if you don't get caught, you're fine. It's not like, you know, this places in the Middle East where they're just going to chop off your hand for stealing a loaf of bread. It's all very civilized and very worked out and very thought out. But it's one of those things that I love learning. History was always my favorite class in high school and in college. And I love learning about more of it. I learned all about Theodore Roosevelt while I was in the Dakotas and Montana.
He was a man's man, right?
And
there.
It was, oh my
sickly
God.
Sickly child.
He was
very sickly
so
child.
So cool. His wife and his mother died on the same day,
yeah,
which was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And that's what made him go to the Dakotas and become an environmentalist like 100 years before being an environmentalist was cool.
You can thank Theodore Roosevelt for our national parks.
Yeah, like my father and I, before we went to Theodore Roosevelt National Park, I asked him who his favorite president was, and he asked me who mine was. And once we finished at that at Rushmore and at Theodore Roosevelt National Park, I was like, he's my favorite now. Like, I had no idea he was this cool, but he is dope.
As a dude, I am totally, as an individual, I am totally a Harry S. Truman guy. Harry S. Truman was a firecracker.
My dad liked Johnson because he carried on JFK's legacy,
right,
after he was assassinated, which I totally respected. I said Lincoln because, you know, tall person power. And
did some good stuff.
And he, you know, he did that whole thing of keeping the Union together and all that.
Well, he got the Union back together. He kind of broke it up and then stuck around to fix it.
And then that dum-dum shot him in the head.
Yeah.
But no, after, don't get me wrong, Lincoln, I still love you. But it's very frustrating to think about the fact that there were these, and I'm sure they were flawed. Obviously, I didn't know them, but there were these great men who really tried hard to make a wonderful country, to make a country that would respect its people, no matter who they were.
And now it's being taken away by a corporation.
And that's what I'm saying.
Can you imagine?
The irony is that they set it up to make this possible. But this was not their intention.
Can you imagine a Roosevelt standing by for this?
I can't, like...
Herbert Hoover, maybe.
Well, and even, like,
Prescott Bush,
I posted a picture of... it happened to be raining on the day I was at Mount Rushmore. And I posted a picture saying, four of our best presidents are crying because they found out that an orange-faced dum-dum was... running the country they worked so hard to make great. And I believe that. I mean, I don't believe that they were actually crying. It was rain. But you know, these men were it's become a novelty. Country has become a novelty.
But here's truth. They built the country well enough that it is Trump-proof. And our country is Trump-proof. As long as we remember what Benjamin Franklin said when he walked out one day after the agreements had been signed and the Constitution had been enacted, he walks out of Independence Hall in Philadelphia and a woman walks up to him and says, "What kind of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin?" And Benjamin Franklin responds, "A republic, if you can keep it." And that is the most important thing. Can keep it.
Nothing is sustainable unless there are people who work to sustain it.
I may rant occasionally on this program. I don't advocate positions. We generally try and keep it right down the middle on things and leave it up to you to decide for yourself. What is happening here? What Google has put forward, what Project Veritas has brought to light, should terrify every American. This is a direct assault on your liberty. This is a direct assault on your republic. You cannot claim to live in a free society. You cannot claim to live in a republic if you are not an informed citizen. And you cannot be an informed citizen when a private for-profit corporation is deciding what reality is going to be. We are past a line. We have crossed the Rubicon. We are through the looking glass. This must be stopped. And the only way it will be stopped is if enough of the citizenry gets up and says, "Hey, Congress, do you understand what they're doing? Do you understand what is being said here? Do you understand that they are trying to take our republic and our way of life away from us?" Enough of you do that, this will stop. That's the only way it's going to stop.
And that's the great irony of the entire situation is that the reason that, 250 years ago, around 250 years ago, our forefathers fought to have us not be under any sort of scrutiny, to experience any sort of oppression, they fought for us to be free in every sense of the word. And now those that kind of, I guess the best way to put it is abuse that power, are keeping that from happening.
They had no way of anticipating this. They had no way of knowing this.
Oh, no, and I'm not faulting our forefathers at all, but it's sad. It's sad to see what some people will do with freedom.
WMFO Medford, 9 minutes until On the Tell Mikey D comes your way with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Before that, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Hi, this is James Brown, soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Derek Gary. We're about to wrap things up, but first we're going to tell you our favorite things from the past or coming week. For me, I know I talk about them all the time, but it's because they're awesome. My besties from another pair of testies just started playing the Barking Crab again for their summer stint there. It's Legends of Summer. They're so amazing. And they're going to be playing every Sunday, short of when they have to do a wedding. It's going to be 1 to 4 o'clock. So check their website. It's legendsofsummer.com.
As seen on TV.
And yes, that's, I was going to say, you know my bestie, Kimberly. She hates being called that. She's going to be really mad I called her that on the radio. But my bestie, Kim, was just on The Voice. And I mean, you go see her, she'll prove why she was good enough to be in The Voice. Her voice is incredible.
Nice.
And not far from now, I am going to be singing American Pie with Legends of Summer. So I'll keep you guys updated for when that's going to happen.
Nice.
That's my belated birthday present from Kim Cherry.
I may have to go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Netflix, if you have Amazon, if you have both, go learn something, will you? I watched all of Ava DuVernay's When They See Us, and I will tell you something. It is incredible. It is powerful. It is moving. Can I find a couple of faults with it from a contextual perspective? Yes, I can. But
contextual is such an intelligent word.
Well, I don't think it gets to the full environment of what New York City was like in 1988 and 1989. You know, and the fear and the concerns that were gripping that city. So I will say, watch Ava DuVernay's When They See Us, but make a point of watching it. It is incredible. And very, very well done, and very true to reality. And then, if you have Amazon Prime, Ken Burns and Sarah Burns' documentary, The Central Park Five, which will give you all of that context of what was happening in New York at that period of time, is a great piece. Either one of them separately is worth a watch. This is a story that everybody should know, because it is as relevant today as it was then. And you know what the biggest element of that whole story is? Not so much the judicial misconduct, not so much the misconduct by the police, although there was certainly a lot of that, but the fake news. Fake news rode tall in the saddle throughout that whole story. And as somebody who was around back then and remembers all of these reports coming out, it didn't really set in with us back then that we were seeing fake news and
yeah, that our opinion was being manipulated. Yeah, that wasn't a clickbait situation.
We didn't have a name for it. But it's all over this thing. And it, as I say, powerful piece, highly recommended. If you have Netflix, check it out. If you have Amazon Prime, check out the Ken Burns documentary, Central Park 5, When They See Us.
Oh, yes, I've actually watched that.
You'll be glad you did.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture, but before we go, we're going to tell you that's a thing that happened, which is the craziest thing from the past week. For me, this is coming out of Mississippi, which is, I mean, kind of close to Florida, but not quite as close as usual.
Similar latitude.
But a historical marker has been placed near the river where two men in southern Mississippi said they were abducted by aliens in 1973.
Fun!
News outlets report that the city of Pascagoula dedicated the marker Saturday at Lighthouse Park. Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker said they were on the shores of the Pascagoula River when what appeared to be aliens pulled them on board a UFO, examined them for about 30 minutes, and then returned them to Earth. Both reported the event to the Sheriff's Department and were checked out at a hospital after it happened on October 11th, 1973. The story has become known worldwide. Parker published a book about the experience in 2018. Hickson, unfortunately, died in 2011. Both said many people doubted their story, but a few witnesses have come forward to corroborate some details.
They probed me, Bubba. They probed me down there.
I'm sorry. I try so hard not to snort on the radio, but I'm just looking at this like, okay, are you just bored living in Mississippi?
No, you know what it is? This is the only statue you can put up right now without millennials coming out being like, tear it down, tear it down.
It's like, are you guys serious? Like, are you that? I mean, is it that boring to live in Mississippi? Apparently it is.
We're going one state over. Louisiana.
Oh, at least Louisiana has New Orleans.
A reminder that 911 is not a complaint hotline.
Oh, goodness. What is this going
to
be?
Police in Slidell took to Twitter to scorn one resident who considered a fast food shortage a felony. They wrote the following. Slidell Police Department. This is their Twitter handle. It's been a while, but another we can't make this stuff up story. Somebody called in to complain that the Taco Bell on Gowsie Boulevard ran out of both hard and soft taco shells. While this is truly a travesty, the police can't do anything about this. Hopefully they are replenished in time for Taco Tuesday. People were sympathetic with police, with one person tweeting, Slidell Police Department, this is definitely nacho problem. Poor police. I feel bad for them having to deal with taco complaints. Not what they're there for. That's just about all the time that we have. The 4th of July is coming up next week. You know what that means? You know what that means, Shay?
It means that we're going to have the most ironic celebration of our quote-unquote freedom.
Well, yes. But that also means I'll be wondering where our freedom is as we talk about the ongoing illegality of fireworks in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's an annual tradition here on The Big Picture because we're one of two states left. It was 8 when I started. 2 states where you can't buy them.
Do you know how hard it was driving across the Dakotas and Montana and not buying fireworks and sneaking them into my luggage?
I am so angry.
They
have righteously outraged.
Do you know how much fun Roman candles are?
I love Roman candles. Fountains. Aerial repeaters. I love it all. Until next time, Shay Spillane.
I love you all.
And I am Derek Gary. Until next week, be safe, everybody.